Oh, Father, we thank you.
Our hearts and minds are open to hear your word. We receive your word with gladness and with meekness. We have and we walk in the light of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay. Matthew 28:18-20. Matthew 28:18-20. That's what we kick for. Now you see, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority have been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore make disciples of every nation." He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. So we said, when he said heaven and earth, or we said heaven and earth is where God's authority is, right? Heaven and earth is where God's authority is. When he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So where you find God's authority will be what? In heaven and on earth. Are you following me? Glory to God. So that's where we find all authority. Now say, listen, God's authority, it is made possible by faith. Was that what we said? Was that what we said last week? That this, or that heaven and earth is made possible by faith, which is the new creation. Right? Right? So the new creation is heaven and earth united. We said that. We also said that the disciples will be taught what Christ has commanded, which is what Christ has instructed prior to his resurrection, which will be what? The reality of faith in God. Right? The reality of faith in God. What will be the reality of faith in God? Our identification and walking in love. Right? That will be the reality of faith in God. Because we said walking in love will be what? Will be as a result of what? Faith in God. Was that what we said last week and last 2 weeks? Glory to God. So we said the walk. So, okay. Glory to God. Okay, let's proceed. So we said the walk in love flows from faith in Christ. Was that what we said? Hallelujah. Are you following me? So echo back. Was that what we said?
Yes.
The second is like unto the first. Okay. That is the second like unto the first. Okay, let's quickly rush down to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So you will have to look at verse 13
into 14, into 15.
Look at verse 14. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. For if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. He now says, but I say, walk in the spirit. That is to say, walk in love.
Right?
Walking in love is walking in the spirit. Look at Romans chapter 13, quickly. Romans 13. Walking in love is walking in the spirit. Romans 13, quickly. Romans 13, verse 8. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, is summed up in this saying. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So when it says, walk in the spirit, in context of Galatians 5, he's saying, walk in love. So, walking in love is walking in the spirit. And we saw last week that forgiveness is the expression of what? Love. What about we saw last week? Well, forgiveness is the expression of love. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:32. It says, and be a kind one to another. It says, tender hearted. Let's go to Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. It says, and be a kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. He now says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. He said, and walk in love. Did you see that? And walk in love. So therefore, we will say the expression of love is what? Forgiveness. Do you understand me? Forgiveness is the expression of love. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So that was what we saw last week. That a child of God will walk in forgiveness. Right? Should walk in forgiveness. Hallelujah. And we said walking in love is conscious. You are conscious of that walk, right? We use the word walk, right? Peripatio. To walk in love. To walk. Now we should. That is Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. And we should walk in them. Peripatio. It talks about a conscious walk. Do you understand me? So your consciousness is involved in this walk. So meaning I will consciously say I want to walk in forgiveness. Do you understand? I choose to forgive. I choose not to live in rot. Do you understand? You are conscious of it. There are some people that will say, if I just forgive like that, it will look as if I'm weak. No! You are walking in your nature. Do you understand me? You are walking in love. Are you following me? Glory to God. Look at Jesus on the cross. He still said, Lord, forgive them. Do you understand? They spat on him, they flock him, he says, Lord, forgive them. Walking in love. He doesn't show weakness. No. He's just walking in your nature. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when he tells them in Galatians 5 verse 16, walk in the spirit. When he says that, then what has he been telling them in context? Concerning the spirit. Galatians 3, quickly. Rush down to Galatians 3. We have a long study today. Galatians 3. For verse 2, he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Have not begun in the spirit, you are now being made perfect in the flesh. He says, as the new man who will receive is the spirit. He said, you don't receive the Spirit by the works of the law of body, hearing of faith. Meaning, as the new birth, what do we have? That's what Paul is telling in the context. When at the new birth, you receive the Spirit. And he says, in verse 3, he said, haven't begun in the Spirit. Meaning, to be born again is to begin in the Spirit. Are you hearing me? To be born again is to begin in the Spirit. It's to begin in the Spirit. It's to be part of the Spirit. Ephesians, I mean, Romans 8. Verse 14. Before you look at Romans 8:14, we are looking at what he told them in context. Look at chapter 5 of Galatians, verses 18. It says, but if you are left by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What is he telling them? Remember that word, but? He said, because sins, that word because you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. I hear me? Because you are led of the Spirit of under the law. This is the same with Romans. What he said in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Remember that word led? That is the word ago in the Greek. It speaks of the new birth. It implies to bring forth. We've said this over again. He said it implies to bring forth. He said as many as are led by the Spirit. Meaning, the new birth is the leading of the Spirit. To be born again is to be brought forth by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it implies to bring forth from the flesh to the Spirit at the new birth. So the new birth were brought from the flesh to the Spirit. We are brought from the flesh to the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. Can we say that? We can. Because of Ephesians 2:8. Do you understand me? So we can say in the new birth, we are brought from the flesh to the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. Because there is a walk in the new birth. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So why would Paul speak to the church at Galatia this way? He would speak to them this way because they began to listen to false doctrine. They began to listen to others who perverse the gospel. And it was not showing in their conduct. You know, whatever you keep around you for so long, you begin to do it. Do you understand? Whatever you keep around you for a long time will show in your conduct. Are you hearing me? If you keep Telemundo around you for too long, you begin to act Telemundo. Is that true? If you keep the sin one around you, your life will be zero. It's not a joke, I'm telling you the fact. Say, no, there's nothing there. I just had friends that are Yahoo guys, Yahoo bros. Watch yourself after a while. Because you keep those things around you. Do you understand? What you keep around you eventually gets into you. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? What you keep around you will get into you. There are some guys today who prefer, who will go after harlots, prostitutes. It's because some of them is as a result of the fact that they kept friends that were sleeping with prostitutes. And they were claiming, no, greater is he that is in me. No. Yes, greater is he that is in you. Perfect, good. Do you understand me? Greater is he that is in you, that is it. I mean, that he that is in the world. But you know, you have to keep things away from you. Even Paul will say, evil communication. He was saying that in reference to false teachers. He calls false teachers, false teaching, evil communication. He says, corrupt good manners. So you cannot be in a place. Listen, you cannot say, I'm just going to the church because my daddy and mommy wants me to go to the church. And you know what is being ministered is not the gospel of Christ. It will get you. Are you hearing me? If you attend a place where they say, where they pray, fall down and die for my enemy, and you are just like, no, whenever they are doing, I will just be speaking in tongues. It will get to you. You might say, no, it's not entering. The day you know you enter is the day where all cheats are down. And you just said, you are now praying Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, like my enemy that. You just catch yourself in such a situation. Why? Because at that point,
All chips are down. You know what I mean by all chips are down? You just want to get answers of anyone. And you remember, in this place, why? Because you have stayed there too long. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? There are some programs on the TV that I will not watch. Why? Because what you keep around you for too long gets to you. You understand? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, sometimes last year, I got watching soap opera very well, The Johnsons. Some of you that know The Johnsons, I got watching it well. And one day, I just mimic someone, and I discovered that I mimic the person very well, like, dear God. What you have watched for so long will get to you. It's not a joke.
Where will you go? In fact, I could give you the timings for it and the channels for it.
What you kept around you so long. And you will know the timing for zero. You will know the timing for those things, my siblings and I. Siblings and you, this one and that, but yet you will forget 3 p.m. to pray for 30 minutes. Do you understand what you keep around you? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. So they began to have people that will pervert scripture, pervert the message of Christ. That we will find that in Galatians 1:6. Let's look at Galatians 1:6 to 9. Galatians 1, look at verse 6 to 9. It says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from he who have called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Can you see? Look at verse 7. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. That word pervert is the Greek word metastrepho, metastrepho, metastrepho. It's the one that implies to change to something else. That is, to turn to something else. Glory to God. To turn to something else. Metastrepho. You find in Acts 2 verse 20, James 4 verse 9. Metastrepho. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. That's supposed to be called 1 Corinthians, sorry. So, this was already showing in their conduct that they are not carrying people, or they are not listening to people who are perverting the scriptures. You see, as minute as that is, it will show your conduct. And that is why, as a believer, see, listen to me. As a believer, this is just generally for our believers' life. Listen and listen good. As a believer, you must keep a sincere, a pure conscience. Are you hearing me? There are some things you shouldn't know about people. Some people just see. Some people want to know everything. As for who? There's some things you don't decide not to know. Are you hearing me? Because there's some information that you gather concerning someone that your attitude towards that person will not change. So you keep a pure conscience all the time. So therefore you must put away from thee a forward lips. Proverbs 4. Listen there. This is why you have that skill. Put away from you. There are people who want to tell you everything. Gist partner. Do you know that? Some people have gist partners. Just to give me gist. And they talk about anybody and everything. Look at why you stop valuing some people. It's as a result of what you said, what you heard concerning them. Do you know that? Your value for people will drop down when you get concerning them. So why not just keep a pure conscience? Do you understand? So whenever you are around people that are saying things about me is that shift from, don't contribute, don't listen. Hire me. Keep a pure conscience all the time. Maybe it's just a general gist at home. Keep away from it. Maybe that is the time you just put on your earpiece and listen to a song. Just keep away from it. Keep a pure conscience all the time. Hire me. Say, I keep a pure conscience all the time. Be conscious of that. You see people gather together, they are just throwing a deep. And you just came from nowhere. Man of God, brother in the Lord, talking Holy Ghost to you. I say, God, what is the gist now? What is the gist? What is the gist? And then you know, they say, now true. Now wow. I am believer. No. It's not becoming of a child of God. I am. He says it's not been named amongst you. So there are some stories about some ministers or some brethren that you must not want to know. Do you know what this brother did yesterday? This is that I don't want to know. I'm not insulting, but I'm not interested. I don't want to know. Do you understand? Do you know what this sister did to me last week? Bro, sister, please, sorry, I don't want to know. I am not your self leader. Tell it to yourself leader. Let's know that you are reporting for God's correction, not giving me a gist. Why do you want to tell me as a gist? No, don't gist me. Keep a pure conscience. Are you hearing me? They say, for when they begin to see, when you begin to want to know things that you are not supposed to know, it's not of God. I am. It's not of God. We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. Okay. So, what has begun to show in their conduct? In the church at Galatia is also similar thing to what we have in the church at Corinth. Remember Corinth? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:2, 1-2. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, and not to bear it. Say, I fed you with milk, and neither do you are not able to bear it. I hear me. I said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. See, he has to be not able to be. He said, there is name among you was strife and divisions. So something almost similar. So the word is strife and divisions. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. For you are still carnal, for where there are strife, where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving? That is the word and act. Right? Hallelujah. That word and behaving like men is the Greek word that implies and walking according to man. Do you understand me? And behaving like men. Behaving like men. So, Paul calls that conduct the conduct of envy, strife, and division. He calls it a conduct of men. Who are men? We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. Men. We'll get to see it in 1 Corinthians 10. So, a man is a man without the Spirit. The man who is not born again. So, a man who is not born again is called a mere man. Just ordinary like that. Do you understand? A mere man. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. So, in 1 Corinthians 10, is giving us an example of mere men. And he tells us those
who are murmured are men who reject the gospel in the wilderness. So those the men in the wilderness, this now rejected the gospel, are examples of men. A man who rejects the gospel is a mere man. A man who rejects salvation is a mere man. Because why? He stays, he remains the same without the Spirit. When the gospel is ministered to him. Do you understand? So that's a mere man.
1 Corinthians 10:1. He said, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware of our fathers who were under the clouds and all passed through the sea. We all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We saw this yesterday, so I'm not going to eat again today. He says, all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness, and this became an example to the this became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things that they lusted.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So
that we should not lust after the things that they lusted. Can you see that? Verse 8. Verse 7, and said, and do not become idolaters. Where some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. That we'll find in Exodus 32, verse 6. Verses 8, now let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Now let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now complain, as some of them also complained, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Sorry. Verse 9 was by the serpent, by verse 10, by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Hallelujah.
So this is very important. Paul uses the man who rejects the gospel to talk to us about walking in the flesh. Do you get that? Are you following that? So we can say, this is just taking it from where we stopped yesterday. Those of us who were around yesterday, right? So we can say, at the background of walking in the flesh, or we say at the background of not walking in the Spirit, is unbelief towards the gospel. So at the background of walking in the flesh is unbelief towards the gospel. And unbelief towards the gospel is that man is in darkness. Right? 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 So, let's take it this way. So, can we say, at the background of walking in the flesh is darkness. We're getting to somewhere. It's darkness. We will explain that word and we will expand it shortly. Hallelujah. So, when a man is walking in the flesh, he's walking in unbelief. When a man walks in the flesh, he walks in unbelief. Even though he's born again, though, in order to be born again, is to have believed in Christ. Right? Right? It's to have believed. But to walk in the flesh is unbelief. Though you are born again, but it just shows you are not allowing the light of the world to direct you. Do you understand? It does show that you are allowing the light of the world to direct you. Hallelujah. So, for example, when a believer walks in unforgiveness, he's not allowing the light of the world to shine in that part of his life. Do you understand? It doesn't make him unborn again, or it doesn't make him unborn again. No. Do you understand? But he's not allowing God's light of forgiveness shine in that part of unforgiveness in his heart. Do you get that? Hallelujah.
He's just like a believer who commits fornication. He's not allowing the light of the Word of God to shine in that dark place of his life. Tell us that. Glory to God. So at the background, you'll find unbelief. We'll delve more into this when we discuss understanding the gospel in this year. Hallelujah. So we'll delve more into unbelief. Glory to God.
Because we're going to be looking at some things in the Old Testament, and we will draw it in on Numbers.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we'll see. So can we say, because Numbers is, if you look at the book of Numbers, is actually Hebrews chapter 3 into chapter 4. The writer of Hebrews, he was explaining Numbers, the whole of Numbers, and he called it in the days of provocation. So the days of provocation will be 40 years in the wilderness. So that is Numbers. That will be the days of walking in lust, or in the walk, or walking in the flesh. Are you hearing me? It's the days of walking in unbelief. Listen, I'm about to draw something out. Now, when we are about to get to the First Corinthians 10, Paul will say, they tempted Christ. So it will be the days of temptation. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So can we now say, the background of walking in the flesh is the book of Numbers? Can we say that? It's the book of Numbers. Hallelujah. So Paul will bring in the book of Numbers and use it to teach not to walk in the flesh. Are you hearing me? So what is the book of Numbers? Unbelief towards the gospel. So walking in the flesh is unbelief towards what is written. Are you following me? Glory to God. So look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 11. Paul went ahead to now show something. He said, now all this happened to them as examples. He uses the word examples. Examples to who? It can't be examples to them, but to us. That's why I said that. Examples they were written for our admonition. That is the word counsel, our warning, upon whom the end of the age has come. So the examples is not examples to them but to us. That word examples is the Greek, is from the Greek word to pause. Examples. It implies let me just put it this way. It implies what has happened before that can still be replayed or can still recur. So it's telling you that this thing has happened before, it can still happen again. Do you understand? What can be replayed? What has happened that can still be replayed? Do you understand? So they are written for us for examples that we should not lose after we've been lost. He calls unbelief lost. Are you following that? Are you following Paul's explanation? Hallelujah. Are you following Paul? He calls unbelief lost. Hallelujah. So, unbelief to the gospel will produce the work in the flesh. Right? Right? So, for a believer that works in the flesh, it is unbelief towards what has been written for him to walk in. Do you understand? So it will still be narrowed down to unbelief. It will still be narrowed down to unbelief. So it can still be replayed. It can still occur. So it implies that if a believer doesn't walk in the spirit, he will be discharging the works of the flesh. There is no I'm on the fence. No. If you are not walking in the spirit, you are deciding the works of the flesh. It's not everybody's side to it. There's no side to anything.
you shall not discharge the functions of the flesh. You shall not discharge the works of the flesh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So there's no sitting on the fence. Tell someone there's no sitting on the fence. There's no sitting on the fence.
Hallelujah. Are you in 1 Corinthians? We'll move ahead. Look at verse 13. It says, I'll go into verse. I said, therefore, let him that he thinks stand, take it lesson. For I said, no temptation has overtaken you, except such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
Now look at this. Glory to God. So Paul now places something there that calls it temptation. You understand? Let's look at that word temptation there. Is the word pirasmos in the Greek. It's from the verb pirazo. Pirazo. From the verb pirazo. Pirazo, or the latter word, the verb pirazo or ekpirazo. The latter verb ekpirazo. We'll get to see. It means a pressure. A pressure to do what you are not supposed to do. A pressure to do what you are not supposed to do. Listen. Are you supposed to work in the flesh? Are you supposed to work in the flesh? So, when temptation, piraspos, ex pirazo, or pirazo, is a pressure to do what you are not supposed to do. So, it then means that working in the flesh is a temptation. Is a pressure for you to work in what you are not supposed to work in. Do you understand? Are you following me?
And he says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man.
That word as common to man, it means it comes from man. So this pressure to walk in the flesh and not to walk in the spirit is not from God. Do you understand? The pleasure to walk in the flesh doesn't come from God. In fact, James chapter 1 verse 12 tells us, when you are tempted, do not say God tempts you. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt any man. Do you understand me? James 1 12. Sorry, James 1 13. He cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. So, God is not involved in temptation. Listen that. So Paul quickly lets you know that temptation is man work. Meaning it is common to man, means it comes from man. Do you understand?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So it's not from God, it's from man.
Meaning if it comes from man, meaning you can trace where you pick it up from. You can trace it. We have that story already. Hallelujah. So some people say, maybe it's God trying to test my faith. It's not God anything. Hallelujah. It is you not letting the light of the world shine in that area of your life. Glory to God. Are you following me? Glory to God. Okay. But it tells you what God does in that verse 13, right? That's what God will say, it makes you be. That is, it talks about the ability. The ability of God is in you. Hallelujah. That's how we always see it. Hallelujah. Do you get that? That ability is in us. Glory to God. Glory to God. So,
in verse 14, Paul says, therefore, flee from idolatry.
What is Paul saying? He went ahead to tell the word was not being named among them. He said, flee from idolatry. That word idolatry is the Greek word idolatries. Or call it idololatries. E-I-D-O-L-O-L-A-T-R-E-S.
Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God. Glory to God.
It's from the word Idolo. E-I-D-O-L-O-N. Idolo. It implies that which is worshipped or esteemed above God. That which is worshipped or esteemed above God. Idolatry. That which is worshipped or esteemed above God. It's not to say, when he's writing to the church at Corinth, remember, if you the background you have about the church at Corinth, Corinth is a what? Commercial hall, right? It's a commercial hall, it's a major city. It's a city, a major city that will have a major business district city. Like we'll have New York, we'll have Wall Street. Is New York. I will have Lagos, no commercial hall. So part of what you will find in a commercial hall is what you find intelligence, right? You have people who are educated. That's what I mean by intelligent. Educated people. So meaning you in Corinth you find educated people. In Corinth you find yes, you see people that have. Idols that you worship, fine, you can rule that. But you find more people are educated because that place is a commercial hall. So there's a lot of intelligence around that place. So when Paul writes to them and calls the word idol, idol, you know, someone, the person that will be sitting in the church at Corinth will not just have some goal in his mind, will not have a major idol in his mind, no. You know that what that one would have in his mind would be anything esteemed above God, which will go beyond a carved image. Did you understand that? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Look at 2 Corinthians 10. Quickly, 2 Corinthians 10. So, when a man begins to esteem his knowledge above God, it's called idol worship. 2 Corinthians 10, are you there? I will take verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, it mentions thought, it mentions knowledge. Every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Are you following that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Every high thing that exalts itself. So knowledge can be seen as an idol. A knowledge esteemed above the knowledge of God is an idol. Are you following me? I follow you. Glory to God. Like when you go to meet someone and tell the person the power of God, and you say power of God. Yeah. I'm a medical doctor. Please let me go and take drug. That person is esteeming his knowledge above the knowledge of God. You understand? That is an idol. So you don't place thought, even thought, above the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. So can that tell us that it is is idol worship? Do you know that? You know, you hear some people are to say, I don't believe in God. I don't even believe in that. I don't serve the devil. I don't believe in
shall go, all those things. I don't believe those things.
But men saying that is idol.
Do you understand? You don't need to go to a shrine. I don't know if you understand. You don't need to go to a shrine. Especially Nigerian atheists. You know, they are Nigerian atheists that are premature atheists. Let's not get into that. Hallelujah. You know, they are premature atheists. They can't go to a shrine. And they are atheists. So that's why I call them premature atheists. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, I go. Hallelujah.
When a man begins to rely on his knowledge more than the knowledge of Christ, his idol. Hallelujah. So we are not to esteem anything above the knowledge of God's word. Nothing. Nothing. Even money. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, I was not looking at saying this today, but let's look at it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Look at Colossians 3, 5. It says, therefore, put to death. That word put to death is actually, it implies see as dead, because you're not doing anything. Do you understand? So when he said put to death, he's telling you what has happened. Instead of telling you, this is what has happened in the new verse. It is not you put it to death, it is actually you see it as dead. Do you understand? Are you following me? So when it says put to death, it means see as dead your members, that is what praxis, your functions, which is on the earth. It says fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So Paul, in the church at Corinth, he weighs covetousness and idolatry as the same. Are you hearing me? Covetousness. That is the word play. Oh. Is the word plenosia. Plenosia. P-L-E-O-N-E-X-I-A. Plenosia. Covetousness. Is the word that implies greed. To want to extort so as to make more. That is the word. Plegnosia. To want to extort to make more. Greed. You find it in Ephesians 5:3. Ephesians 5:3 says, let this not be named among you. He mentioned covetousness. So as a believer, greed must not be named among you. So, greed is working in the flesh. It's not working in love. Are you following me? Are you following me? So we are looking at what we should not work in. With that, you know what you should work in. Are you following that? Eh? So greed, want to extort somebody to make more, is called working in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:3. Was that what I said? Okay. We have the in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 5. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 5.
I'm coming there. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 5. Before I look at something else. It says, for neither at are you there? He said, for neither at any time did we use flattery words, as you know, nor a clock, touch the mountain, nor a clock for covetousness, God is witness. Meaning, did you see that? So covetousness is something that must not be found in the pastor. A pastor must not be covetous. He must not defraud another to make more. You know what I mean? To make money. Hallelujah. It's used for love for money. I am a pastor of what we found. Come and buy this olive oil. It's from the mountain of olive. With a seed as small as $100.
The Lord told me as many as will touch my hand with 10,000 minimum will receive double blessing. But there are 10 verses you don't have money right now.
Hallelujah.
Are you following that? It will be named among a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, Paul uses that word.
1 Timothy 3, verse 2, he says, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, nor violent, nor greedy for money. He uses the word greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous.
Not greedy for money, not covetous. That word covetous is the word, that word not covetous is the compound word. It's the word aphilagoros. 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 Is the word not loving money. Not money loving. So a minister must not be a lover of money. Are you hearing me? A minister must not be a lover of money. Who said it?
You know, scripture. We're extending scripture. Hallelujah.
A pastor must not be a lover of money. It's part of the word criteria to become a pastor. So, for you know, in our way that you talk about, you know, Paul is the only one that uses the word deacon the way he did. He's the one that uses deacon the way he did because you know, we know that deacon, every minister is a deacon. Do you understand? But Paul uses deacon the way he did. And he said that deacon must be proven faithful. So one of the things must be proven faithful for must be that he's not a lover of money. Are you hearing me? You cannot be in a leadership position and you are a lover of money.
Okay. What's the problem? We'll run out of sin.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a pastor must not be a lover of money. Hebrews 35. He now tells the writer of Hebrews now tells uses the same word. He said, let your conduct, that is what the is it old noun or old figures call, let your conversation, right? Right? He said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake. He said, let your conduct be without covetousness. That is the same word, aphilagoros. Be without covetousness.
So it also brethren believers. A believer must not be covetous. Where will the writers be writing from?
Yes, we know they are writing back then with the Old Testament, right?
But where would they be writing from? Where would they hear? No, in the four Gospels, remember, in the four Gospels, they will be writing from the words of Christ. I hear that because what we have in, listen, remember, I told us earlier, before now, that the four Gospels explain the Old Testament, right? Right? The four Gospels, the incarnation, is the Old Testament fulfilled. Are you following me? The incarnation of Christ is the Old Testament fulfilled. So meaning I said this in one of our teachings recently. I said that we can confidently, without looking at the epistles, explain the Old Testament from the four Gospels. Are you hearing? And that is why you find that Matthew is writing will have the word that it may be fulfilled. What has this? Do you understand? Because the incarnation itself is the fulfillment. Right? So what we now have in the epistles will not be expounded words of the word and person of Christ explained. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory be to God. So I said that to say this. Now, the apostles will write, the believer should not be covetous. The pastor should not be covetous. You'll be hearing that from the words of Christ. Where? When Jesus went into the temple and destroyed what they had there, John 2, he said, let not my father's house be the house of merchandise. Do you understand? So, it's from that writing you would see that. Hallelujah. Merchandise. Buying and selling. You should not be playing in the house of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So, that singular act of being covetous, being greedy, not being content, is called idolatry. So you get what I'm saying? You know, a believer does not need to go to Shango to worship an idol. You don't need to go and visit Okija shrine. No! Just that very act of dethroning another believer is covetousness, is idolatry. Do you understand? Are you following me? Glory to God. So, Bible teaches us to be content. Be content. That is what Bible teaches us. We should be content. Be content. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 into 11, there's another word used for covetous. Is the word pleno, is the word plenekitis. 1 Corinthians 5, 10, 11. 6:10, Ephesians 5:5.
He says, for you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man.
That's the word covetous man. Covetous man.
1 Corinthians 6:10. 1 Corinthians, okay, let's start from 5. 1 Corinthians 5:10. He says, yet I certainly did not mean with sexual immoral people of this world or with the covetous. Did you see that? Or extortioners or idolaters. Since then you will need to go to them, but I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named the brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Is that the instruction that we will see?
It means when he says not to eat, he says do not company with a believer. Remember, I just said what you keep around you will get to you. So you don't keep a company of a believer who is sexually immoral, who is what? A covetous man. Do you know that? Are you following me? These are instructions we are told to follow from the scriptures. Don't have such a one around you. Because they will get to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That word, I call it plenokitis. It means to defraud to gain. To defraud another so as to gain. You just defraud. You say that is idol worship. Don't keep company with such a person. Are you hearing me? So we are taught not to defraud one another. We are taught to be content. Hallelujah. Something is 50 there. I say it's 1 to 8 to sell to his brother. Just 1 to 8 stops. No. I will say you should not put your own profit. Put your profit, but do not extort. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 10. Like we just journeyed far from. Well, we're explaining it. 1 Corinthians 10. Are you there? Look at another thing he tells us. Verse 7 into verse 8. He said, "No, let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did." I want the 23,000 people. Sexual immorality is the word
fornication in the Old King James. It's the Greek word, from the Greek word porneo or pornia. Porneo. Pornia. Where you get the word pornographic from? Porneo or pornia. P-O-R-N-E-U-O. P-O-R-N-E-I-A. In Ephesians 5 verse 3, we've read, it said, "Let this not be named among you," meaning its word must not be named amongst the saints. Immoral heart. Sexual immorality. Colossians 3, we looked at verse 5.
Look at verse 19. Colossians 3, 19. Colossians 3 is listed as what must not be found with the believer, the walk in the flesh. Colossians 3. Verse 5 is a walk in the flesh. Verse 19. Is it 19 now? Sorry. Oh, guess I missed that. Okay, guess I missed that verse 1. I'll get that over for us. Hallelujah. So let's just look at that verse 5. It says, "For therefore put to death your members which are in the earth," which is see as dead, right? The members who are in the earth, fornication. That is the word sexual immorality. Porneo is a walk in the flesh. Hallelujah. That word porneo implies to be with one who you are not supposed to be with. To be with one or something that you're not supposed to be with. That word porneo, fornication. Fornication.
It is not just like idolatry. Porneo is not just used for sexual immorality alone. Do you understand? It's not used for sexual immorality alone. The same way the word harlot or prostitute in scripture not just used for a prostitute alone. Do you understand? Not used for sexual intercourse alone. It is used for wrong doctrine. That word porneo is used for wrong doctrine.
Revelation 2 verse 14. Revelation 2 verse 14. Write down to Revelation 2. Verse 14. It says, "I have few things against you, because you have those who hold the doctrine." Doctrine. You know that word doctrine, which is what a teaching. Right? "Who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality." So sexual immorality, that was sexual immorality has to do with what? A teaching, a doctrine. Do you understand me? Are you following me?
Okay, wrong doctrine. Look at verse 20. Similar thing was said. He talks about, "Nevertheless, I have few things against you because you allow that woman, Jezebel." That woman, Jezebel. Jezebel is in the Old Testament, though. Now he's writing to one of the churches that were in Asia. He said, "You allow that woman, Jezebel." When he talks about Jezebel, he's talking about what? A doctrine. Do you understand me? "You allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach." Did you see that one? That is the function. To teach and seduce my servant to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So it refers to a teaching that is outside proper explanation of the scriptures. In chapter 17, verse 2. Before we get to chapter 17, verse 2,
I wanted us to see the noun of it. The noun of it.
The noun of it is the word porne. Porne. P-O-R-N-E. Porne. Porne. So, porne. You find porne figuratively used for false teachers.
Porne.
Figuratively used for what? False teachers. Look at that Revelation 17. Let's go there together.
Revelation 17, verse 1. So we'll look at verse 1 into verse 2 together. So verse 2, you will have porneo, right? Right? You have porneo in verse 2, you have porneo in verse 1. Look at 1 Corinthians 17. I mean, let's see 1 Corinthians 17. And somebody is opening to 1 Corinthians 17. Revelation 17, verse 1. It says, then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked to me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlots. You see that? The great harlots. That is the word harlot. Who sits on many waters. Many waters. Now, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made to drink of the wine of her fornication. Who sits on many waters? Diverse explanations. Do you understand? Who sits on many waters? He said the kings of the earth, he talks about their identification with such doctrines. Are you following me? Hallelujah. You find that also in verse 5. On her forehead was, on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Do you understand that? Glory to God. We are not having a study of the book of Revelation. You'll find that also in chapter 19, verse 2. Figuratively used for false teachers. So we can say to wrongly keep interpreting scriptures,
or to keep interpreting scriptures wrongly, would be seen as a what? Walk in the flesh. Is it a walk in the flesh? The walk in the flesh. Do you understand? For a believer who jumps at different doctrines, the walk in the flesh. Are you hearing me? It's the walk in the flesh. When a believer begins to jump from here to there, there to there, it's walk in the flesh. It's not God showing you, it's walk in the flesh. Papa, walk in the flesh. Don't walk in the flesh. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Back to 1 Corinthians 10. We must round off. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse 10. Oh, verse 9. He said, now let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpent. Let us not tempt Christ.
That is the word. The word tempt Christ is the word epiraso Christos. Let's not tempt Christ. That word epiraso, as we said earlier, implies to pressure to do what one is not supposed to do. To pressure to do what one is not supposed to do. Epiraso Christos.
He said, let's not tempt Christ as they did.
So,
now, remember, Paul has said these things are what? In verse 11, he said these things are examples. That was, meaning it can still be replayed. If it can still be replayed, it then means that a believer today can tempt Christ.
If they did, a believer can still do it.
Do you understand? And we said to tempt means a pressure to do what you are not supposed to do.
Are you following me?
a pressure to do what you are not supposed to do. A pressure to do what you are not supposed to do. So, how can a believer today pressure Christ, pressure the Lord to do what he's not supposed to do? What does God want to do that you want him to do? What does God do? Salvation, right? What is salvation? Sins. So what does God not do? God does not do. So, can a believer tempt Christ? Yes. How can a believer tempt Christ? When you begin to say, just that minute prayer. My enemies must die. Hey, my enemies must die. Enemies must die. Enemies must die. You heard that song? All my enemies in the southwest is not. What are you doing? Die by fire! In the name of Jesus, listen to her. Do you see that? In the name of Jesus. You know, a pastor calls us on the phone. Yeah. A pastor calls us on the 2 days ago. He said, you pray for your enemies to die in Jesus' name. The name that saves. The name of Jesus does what saves. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Where the righteous one is to and they are saved. Right? So, the name of Jesus is a name for saving. No, it's the name that says. Hallelujah. It's the name that says. So, now, when you now pray for God to kill, it is you are tempting Christ. Do you understand? It is seen as what? Tempting Christ. You are pressuring him to do what he is not supposed to do, what he does not do. Do you understand? So, it is walking in the flesh. So, you see some people that are praying 5 hours. Oh my enemies, enemies, I will not die. I will not pass that exam. What are you going to say for? Die! I said, I'm walking in the spirit. No, you have just demonstrated your flesh. That is the walk in the flesh. I am. Because Jesus doesn't kill. Are you hearing me? He says, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So pray that way is called ekpirazo. Was this my prayer? I always say, bro. I said, bro, ekpirazo. Hallelujah. It's called ekpirazo. Glory to God. Glory to God. A pressure to do what you're not supposed to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you heard some people say things like, I cannot serve a God who cannot meet my monetary needs. Have you heard people say that? I first want to say that. Say, I cannot be serving a God who will not meet my financial needs now. I want to proceed because if you hear that part and you run up on that, you might get it wrong. Because God meets our needs through believers, right? Right? Now he said, who will not meet our needs now? So therefore, when we sow, you have moved the hand of God to give you. Did you hear that? You see, in meeting of, I'm not teaching giving and receiving, but you know, in meeting your needs as a believer, God meets your needs through another believer. And take note, that other believer too must be, God doesn't enforce it on his will. I agree. So that believer too must be receptive to give. Must be taught well giving. Are you following that? So now, when I now begin to do something like that, and I'm not saying I have sown so that God will give me by fire by now, and it will come as miracle money in my account, my brother, that is tempting Christ.
Hallelujah.
So you know those things that he doesn't do, so you don't do it. So when you pressure him to do things like that, which he will not eventually do, do you understand? Because he will never do it. God has shown us that his works is what? Salvation. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? God has shown us his works is salvation. What Christ does is salvation. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. We'll balance it up. But note this. Hallelujah. When we begin to teach miracle signs and wonders, I will also delve into this thing also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But so that you know how to balance it. You know, we want you to believe God for the miraculous. And treasuring him. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. Now, look at something else. Verses 10. Verses 9. Let us not tempt God.
Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by the serpent, nor complain. That word complain, the word murmur, right? Complain.
So complain is a work in the flesh. Complain, murmuring. That word murmuring implies to say words on low tone of complaint.
You know, I listen to people when they don't talk, that
is a work in the flesh. I am. It's a work in the flesh and should not be named among believers. I am to complain, to mutter words of anger. So that's what we'll talk about anger. Hallelujah. We'll just look at anger in it. Tell us that. Just to mutter those words. It's wrong. You tell us that. So what we'll do it and say is our nature. You know, I've been doing life for a spirit that mastered me. It is not a work in the spirit. It's a work in the flesh. Do you understand? So the one between us is not there, an involuntary act. Someone just told you just put that word. It's a walk in the flesh. Are you following me? Are you following me? So he's walking in the flesh. Glory, hallelujah. These things must not be found in the believer. We are wrapping up now, we are closing now. It must not be named nor found in with the believer. We don't know more. Somebody is talking to you, you listen, all you are done, you go, you don't know more. You don't murmur. You don't complain. Some people know how to complain. They don't tell you, I'm not complaining, I'm just saying my mind. In the scriptures, I want you to learn this. It's an addition to what I'm teaching. In the scriptures, we are not taught to say our mind. Are you listening to me? You know, the Bible shows us in Romans that the things that were written for our word learning. Do you understand me? So if you go back, who is the author? Or who, when you hear murmur or complain or speaking of your mind, who would you have in the background? You have Miriam. You have Miriam in the background. Aaron and Miriam. These are examples of people who want to say their mind. They want to complain. Moses! Maybe I would have said,
means I cannot talk my mind. Is it not Moses? Ah. Moses that I took care of. You know that? She knows too much. We talk about her when we talk about her. She knows too much. Is it not Moses? Ah. When they put him inside the bag, I was the one carrying the basket now. So that it was not trapped. Is it Moses? I will not tell Moses my mind. I don't understand. You know, some of us have that kind of thinking. We have that kind of thinking. Is it not Ikechukwu? Ikechukwu. And I knew when he joined. And I knew. Ikechukwu. How old? You know, some people are like that. I won't tell my mind. I am tired. They will just come up position, come up for our body, but I will talk my mind.
My mom talks that way.
Are you hearing me? My mom talks that way. Because okay, somebody in a leadership position offended you a bit. And the person didn't know. Because in me, if your leader knows they will offend you, in one way, they will at least apologize. But because the person offended you, he now went out. You now became the Miriam of your generation. You now became the Aaron of your generation. You now gather yourself, your group, your ecclesia. And as you see, that thing that was not deep, I don't like it. See, I will talk my mind, yo. I will talk my mind. You are two-faced. Eh? I will hear my mind, I will hear my black and white. Yeah, in your mind. Talk is cheap. Hallelujah. The same way walking in the flesh is just cheap. Just don't walk in the spirit. In the flesh, it's just not cheap. You have just switched. So mind your words. In the church, we are not taught to say, we are not taught to say our minds. You are taught to honor men and watch your words. Are you hearing me? Teach this to your disciples. You are not taught to see your mind. Of mind. You don't want to talk to some people, but when you just see, you just stay there. Okay? You are not taught to see your mind. Hallelujah. I don't just know. Every time, Pastor Wilson was not like me. I have seen it. I have discovered it. That I'm the only person Pastor Wilson does not like in ministry. Angel of the churches, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No. No. Hallelujah. You know when you can go and say your mind? Let me teach you where to go and say your mind. When you say your mind, carry a placard. Go to Asoro and say your mind. And come back and I bless you. You don't say your mind in the church. Even normal decorum will tell you, you don't even say your mind. In fact, you can't even say your mind is your place of work. Go and say your mind now. You also say your resignation. But in the church, you can come and talk your mind. Ah, how do I talk my mind? We need to say the truth. Some people say, this is the house of God. We need to say the truth. Bro, sisters, bro, not in the house of God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something that happened in my former place of work. Some people are agitating. Some are agitating. Yeah, no, we will not do this. Listen. Then I called. I was, people in Arcadia. So there are some things that they were doing that was wrong. So we now went for a secret meeting. So in that meeting, they were not talking. You know, in the next meeting, we're going to see our man. I didn't know that. I said, don't you tell me to see your man? Yes, we'll talk. I said, no problem. We're not going for the meeting. We're not going to the meeting. Listen, no. People that want to see their man, we'll enter the meeting.
young man of God. I'm just looking at them. I sat down.
So there was one time for AOB, any other business. I'm not waiting for them cowards to talk. I call them cowards. But from that day, when they call me for another minute, I said, I'm not coming.
You my cowards. Go and say your mind now if you will not go home. You will not just go home the next day. You will not win the designation letter. Letter you need a sack letter. Get there. The damnation has come. Are you understanding me?
Oh God, you need with this. In fact, the next year the budget increased. Go and complain.
Tell them.
Go and complain. If you cannot, you see, if you are watchful, some people when they want to throw out what is bothering them in their heart, do not be using words, using politics and politics in the office place. They say, you know, sir, actually, it's not that I'm complaining, no, but actually there is this thing that is diplomatic. Oh, you can say your mind direct, but in the church, you can drop it like me that. No, we are not learning such. Are you hearing me? We won't learn such. We don't do that in the church. Hallelujah. You must speak to your leaders, speak to those in authority with respect and with honor. The same way to the leaders, to the brethren. Are you hearing me? With honor and with respect. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the believer has been called to walk in the Spirit. And it's called love. To walk in the Spirit. And it's called what? Love. Hallelujah. Have you learned something today? You've learned something, sure? Talk to someone and share with the person.